Hey lads, welcome to the tripod rapid reaction video for round 8. Bear with me as I try and dial in Alex, who's the partner in crime. We recap every single game of the round every week. We also preview every game of the week from a punting perspective on a Wednesday night at 6 p.m. So thanks for tuning in. We're just going to give you our quick takeaways from all 8 games this round, and it was quite a tough round for us on the punt. Luckily, we were all over the Eels in that most recent game, and that was an absolute cracker of a game. And apologies for not getting right underway. It took us a little while to calculate all our record and percentages because a few of those plays were in the balance until the final second, which is good when we only had one game on a Sunday. It's good when it is a cracker of a game. So I'm just hoping that my man Alex, he has had quite a big weekend, but hopefully he is fresh enough to join us here and we will get his takes and my takes on every game of Anzac round. And I'll just take the opportunity as well to reflect on what we are, you know, acknowledging this round, and that is to salute everybody who has served our country or is currently serving our country. And that includes, just going to bring Alexi in here.
Mine and Alex as well. So we do really appreciate anybody who served our country, and we'll definitely appreciate it if we can get Alexi
man.
In. Are you in? Alexi. Okay.
How are you, mate?
Good, mate. I'm good. I'm a little bit better after that game. It's kind of just brought us back after what was a really tough round. But overall, we have to say it was a great weekend because we launched our app. And we mentioned this on Tuesday when we did the pod, but that was because of Anzac Day. It's usually a Wednesday pod. That we have released a game-changing punting app. If you are currently have had a crack on the app in the last few days, hit us with the thumbs up if you like the app, because we've had a lot of really good feedback. It's so much more than just a place that has a few tips. It's I think it's unlike any other app that's out there at the moment.
Yeah, totally agree. I think we've made a really good app. Obviously, some teething issues. Most of the guys watching will probably have downloaded it and had to play around. Some little small technical issues, but we're going to get them ironed out. And once we do, I think it's going to be a really great app. Not only for getting your tips, obviously, but we're going to have all the comps, all the game threads in there eventually. So it's a really fun app. Lets you track your own betting percentages, track your bets and stuff like that, so you don't have to fuck around with an Excel spreadsheet. So if you haven't already, certainly download it. I don't know if you mentioned, but just search Tripod, that's TRYPOD, in the App Store or Google Play, and have a play around.
Yeah, people are really appreciating that it's more than just a forum, but it's recording results of everyone's picks and the odds, so it's really clear to lay out, like, who's killing it, who's on a hot streak. And we've got leaderboards, so you can check out who's doing well and what sports they tip. And then all the filter functions and custom feed, you can decide exactly who you're interested in following. I'll let you lay the slate of the games, but I guess we should talk about the one that just finished. And I mentioned that it took us a few minutes to get this video rolling, because it took us until the 80th minute to know what our record was and then back calculate our percentages. We have released, over the last 4 years, 1,999 best bets. And I'm sad to say that we have hit 1,200 losses. No, sorry. We've hit 800 losses sooner than we've hit 1,200 wins. We are one tip shy. So if we do have our next best bet as a winner, we will be exactly on the dot, 60% winners in 2,000 best bets. Currently, we're 59.999. But yeah, you can lay out the rest of the numbers. And also your takeaway from the Eels-Tigers game, which we had 7 plays on and we won 6.
60% over 4 years is fucking unheard of. So I know it doesn't sound hard. It's like, oh, you give out 10 50-50 bets and you win 6 of them. Like, that's not too hard. But over a sample size of 2,000 bets, that is very, very good. Yes, the Eels brought us back from the dead. I don't know if you mentioned our record. Obviously, it was probably one of the worst weeks we've had in a long, long time. But even so, we still went 15-25, which isn't terrible. Takeaway from that Eels game, we really did like the Eels. And this is another one of those ones where the losing streak theory did come into play. They got their first win, and they really showed up today. I did think we were going to get butt-fucked at the end there. Tigers made a break with a minute left, had the ball at halfway on tackle one. But just the way this week has been going, that's how I thought it would end up. But really impressed with the Eels. Moses was good. Norman was good. And I did have one quick takeaway that I wanted to say. Everyone's been harping on about how good this Tigers team is. I think, and one of the main reasons has been their completion rate. I actually think that completion rate and errors has some sort of element of luck in it, and I do think that they will regress more towards the mean with not only their completion rate and also their errors. So I think we should watch for that moving forward. Tigers aren't as good
as that. The word that I used to describe the Eels the last few weeks was decent effort but low on confidence. And then when that win came, the confidence was there. Now they're confident in attack. They can put on points. They've won the last 2 weeks. And my thought with the Tigers over the first, 8 weeks was they were completing at such a high rate. They were playing such good defensive football and such grinding football. And they were just winning because they were keeping themselves in the battle. And they were just outwilling their opponent. Then in the last couple of weeks, I've noticed they have actually made a concerted effort to throw the ball around a bit more. And I wonder if it's because teams know what the Tigers are going to do. So they're trying to expand their playbook a little bit. But when it doesn't go their way and when it doesn't stick, they're vulnerable. And yeah, we were the ones saying, hold on, let's not engrave the trophy with the Tigers' name yet. And we tipped the Knights to roll them last week, and we've tipped the Eels to roll them this week. And it just goes to show not to overreact to any kind of short sell of form.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're going to win the comp or, compete for the comp, you've got to play a bit of expensive footy, and you've got to score some points. So we have the Anzac Day games. The Dragons beat the Roosters 24-8. And we did like the Roosters in that one. And let me just say, in terms of what you were saying, throwing the ball around and taking a few more risks, Dragons, 20 offloads to 8. And that's like no coincidence that they won that game and put on a whole lot more points than the Roosters. You have to play a bit of expensive and riskier football if you're going to be good. A quick note on the Dragons. Fucking Widdop and Ben Hunt might be the best halves pairing at the very moment. In the NRL. They are on fire. Ben Hunt's playing really well. He's hitting the line hard. Widdop's just doing what Widdop does, which is be great. But they're a really solid contender, and they're easily a top four side. The Roosters will get better as the season progresses, but they're just too up and down at the moment, and that was not a very good performance against the Dragons on Anzac Day.
Yeah, you'll hear no argument from me about that being the best halves pairing in the comp. What you will hear from me is quite a few excuses because we've had a bad round, and I do think that we got fucking unlucky. You mentioned that you just expected the Tigers to roll the Eels there and screw a couple of our players because that's happened to us in nearly every game this round. We've had the team winning at halftime. We didn't have the team winning at halftime, but the Roosters were absolutely in this game. It was 2-6 because they chose to take the 2 when they were down 6-0. They were down 6-0 because they dropped a bomb on the first set. They had set after set. They got very close. They dominated possession. I actually thought they dominated the middle too. In the first half, they concede on the final play of the first half. Even then, it was still a grind in the second half. And I do admit that like the Dragons wore them down with moving the ball around better. We get fucked over again. I mean, I'll admit to be biased because when my money's on the line, I do, maybe my thoughts are skewed a certain way. But like, fuck me, Dad. If that's a try to Nene McDonald, I'm not here. And that cost us 2 plays as well. So that was a rough start and it did not get better in the next game.
No, it didn't get better the next game. The Storm absolutely fucked up the Warriors. And what makes me angry about this one is when we talked on the pod earlier, and we did actually talk, before the pod on Wednesday, or sorry, on Tuesday night, we actually thought it was a really good spot for the Storm. And then the line came out, and it was just a touch too high. I know that line was around 3.5. We would have loved it then. And then we just got sucked in by the line when it got to over 6. But one of those things that I think we have to, maybe look at a bit more moving forward. We mentioned that it was a terrible spot for the Warriors because they played 3 games at home in a row and then they had to travel over to Melbourne. And that's bad for a few reasons. Firstly, not only is it way different playing away once you're kind of used to your home ground, you're used to the noise, the lights, all that sort of stuff. But also, you look a little bit better in the eyes of the average punter because your last 3 recent results have been from home and generally you do play better at home. So it's easy to fucking say in hindsight, but really, the storm were just way too fucking good from the very first minute.
These are pretty weak excuses. Like, there is no excuse for being down 38-0 at halftime. And yet, we didn't really like the Warriors, but, the line was 6.5 and we got a +4 first half. And we thought that being Anzac Day and that they would be able to put up a good performance in this one, even without Johnson. So we got sucked into it, as you said. And we did actually like unders more than anything because both teams have defended so well this season. But you knew that it was fucking cooked after, basically 10 minutes when you're scoring a try off a double kick and the rest of it. And it doesn't matter what great odds or great markets you find or how well you cap the game if a team refuses to show up. So it was an absolutely god-awful Wednesday for us. We actually had a winning record on our best bets after Wednesday, luckily.
Yes, fucking oath. Then next we had the Broncos surprisingly beating the Rabbits 24-20. And we did like the Rabbits here. We didn't love them. We only had a couple of plays on it and we did go 1-1. But let me just say, the Rabbits should have fucking rolled them. They should have been up way more than 4 or 6 points in the first half. They cooked the Broncos in the first half. They were way better. And they just let them hang around. And then the Rabbits actually looked fucking fatigued in the second half. And they let guys like Roberts fucking cruise through for the Grubber try. Like, they just looked really tired in that second half. And I don't know if it's because they're missing Burgess, a bit of go forward. But they just really kept the Broncos in it. And they could have won that. The Rabbits could have won that by 20 points if they were up, you know, a couple tries at halftime. They didn't fucking fatigue. But, yeah, very disappointed in the second half efforts from the Rabbits. But props to the Bronx. They fucking hung in there.
Yeah, good effort by Brisbane. I will give them that. And I think they're doing really well with Bird in the halves. And I do think, absolutely, that the Bunnies missed Burgess. And yeah, they just fell asleep for 10 minutes there when, as you say, it was their game. They were in control. They were mounting pressure and they had a second half lead. And, you know, they let that one slip and it cost us the one play. I think we were laying some points with Bunnies, but we did have them in the first half too. So 1-1 in that game.
Yeah, not terrible. Then the next one, the Knights beat Manly at the death, 18-12. We did like Manly. We thought it was a pretty good spot for them and we did get a good line on it. And I thought that were a better team for the majority of the game. But something's fucking going on there. They don't look 100% motivated. I know there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, and there probably is a lot more than we actually realise, because the guys don't look like they're interested at the moment. And fucking life does not get much better for Manly in the coming weeks. I think they've got the Roosters, the Broncos and the Storm in the next 3 weeks, and a couple of them are away. So if they cannot get up for a game against the fucking Knights when they know they've got a death stretch coming up, then fuck me, I don't know when they're going to get up. But, I mean, for the Knights, yes, same sort of stuff. We think the Knights are like a pretty talentless roster, especially without Pierce, but they put in for a full 80. And I'm not giving the Knights a lot of credit for this one because Manly was fucking putrid.
You do say the word talentless a lot, but that team has Kalen Ponga in it. And he has fucking seen the league on fire and he put the team on his back in that one. But you're right. I would keep my eye. I'd be very wary of Manly. And we were the ones earlier in the season after Manly beat Eels 54-0 a few weeks ago, if you recall. And people were saying Manly can win the comp and saying, how could you tip against Manly? And we were the ones saying they're not nearly as good as people think. They're certainly not as good as a team that came sixth the year before when a lot of things went right. And we also highlighted the fact that they've got depth issues. And that's hurting even more. Gosheski, if I said that right, the young second row broke his hand.
Close enough.
And poor Lockie Cloaker with the ACL injury. And I, you know, my takeaway is Trent Barrett looks like a broken man in the post-match interview. And he says, like, I'm proud of my troops' effort up against all odds. They kept it close. Well, hang on a second. It wasn't against all odds. You were the home favourite. You were playing the Knights. The Knights didn't have Pierce. The Knights got a man sent to the bin. Yes, I'm sorry that your number six got injured, but you've got, you know, Lewis Brown was on the bench. Coruscant went into the halves. They still did okay. Stop making excuses. And I'm worried that this team could fall apart. And you don't have to be Sherlock Holmes when you say some shit's gone on behind the scenes. That's very clear. And that team is in a lot of trouble. So be careful backing Manly. We learned that the hard way. In saying that, I think we still did okay on plays because we had a few good first half plays.
Yeah. And then next up, we did like the Doggies in this one, but the Panthers did, well, they didn't roll them, but it was 22-14. And I fucking have said all season and all last season as well that I hate the Dogs. But so we know that when we actually bet on the Dogs, it's a great spot for them. And this was a fucking great spot for them. And they were up 10-2. And they fucking lost in the second half again. They couldn't score a try in the second half. And let me tell you something. I've been saying this for weeks and weeks, that the Bulldogs are a first-half team. And somehow, when they get a lead, they don't throw the ball around anymore. They go into their shell. And when it happens once, it's like, okay, fair enough. But when it happens on multiple occasions, that is who you are as a team. And it happened in the first game against the Panthers. The Dogs scored 4 tries in the first half, none in the second. Then it happened against the Rabbits. Scored 2 tries first half, got a lead, none in the second. And then in this Panthers game as well, 2 tries in the first half, none in the second. It's a fucking trend at this point. So I think moving forward, I don't want to bet too much on the Bulldogs, but if I am, it's going to be first half.
And, you know, again, we were leaning towards unders as we were in the previous game, which is why we still didn't lose on our best bets, because we did cash the unders. And in this one, we had unders, and that was okay. We had the Dogs in the first half, which is all okay. But as you mentioned, we got backdoored every single game. And to have a team up 12-2 that are playing for their season, because the Dogs only had two wins and it's round eight, and you've got plus 6.5. I mean, you're going to lose that one. I mean, I don't know, one in every 15 times, maybe less. Yeah. So that's a really tough one as well, when it was already a tough round. And of course, people will come out after the game and say, can't believe you took the Dogs. But I mean, I want that team plus 6.5 against the Penrith side, who in the end had Peter Wallace scratched before the game. And they're not, you know, ultra deep as well, with quite a few good players on the sidelines. No, it's just purely not good enough for the Dogs. And you do respect the fitness and the spirit of Penrith, and Maloney is leading the way. Brought them to another win and another narrow and late loss for us on a couple of tips.
Yeah, I feel like we got buffed on a lot of late ones this week. And Sharks, Titans. Sharks won 10-9 in probably one of the more boring games of the round, I guess. But we thought Sharks would get it done. And, of course, you love that bet when it's 9-2 at halftime. But the Sharks are really struggling. I mean, yes, they scored a couple tries in that one, but like one was from a dropped bomb, which, you know, obviously is not a normal way to score a try. Then you got one where the dude fucking flings his hand out, it hits it, maybe that's a knock-on, maybe it's not some other time. So two pretty lucky tries for the Sharks. But their offense is really struggling, and now Dugan's out for I don't know how many weeks. He is fragile as paper, that bloke. So the Sharks are really struggling with some of the injuries. They'll probably get Wade Graham back. And obviously, when we bet on the Sharks, we fucking thought Wade Graham would be playing. But, of course, he gets scratched pre-game. So, Titans, once again, just hanging in there. That is a talentless roster.
Come on, man. That's harsh. This paper, it's putting up a bit of fight when I try and tear it. So, it's a bit tougher than Josh Dugan. But, yeah, for me, my takeaway for that game was, well, we took the Sharks, got them in the first half. We had Titans unders, they all did win, but we get killed because we had like the Sharks first to 20 points, Sharks to score more than three tries, and they put their cue in the rack after 45 yep. minutes. They're winning 9-2, and they had this belief that we don't need to score again to win, and you know, they kind of were right, because they do squeak home, and I almost wish that they'd fucking lost, because they deserve to. They're just kicking over the touchline, over the sideline, when they're 15 metres out and they've just rolled the whole set for 50 metres. Like, they're not asking any questions of the Titans. You would love that being the team chasing, that the side in front is not challenging you at all. They scrape home. The only good thing that came out of that game, because we picked the bloody Sharks to win, and they do, but, of course, we had -2 and they win by one. The only good thing is we did have a multi on Saturday with the Sharks just straight up, and that led into the next game, unders, which, as you know, was a tight and low-scoring game. And we had an AFL game as well. So basically from 7:30 p.m. Saturday, after a terrible round, we've come home with a 4-1 multi, and then we've gone 6 out of 7 plays today. So we somewhat salvaged a shocker of a round.
Yeah, the Eels did salvage it for us, and what a team to salvage it for us. But one more game, obviously, probably the biggest upset of the week was the Raiders taking down the Cows. And we actually stayed away from this one. The line we felt was a bit too high. It was 7.5, and the Cows, the way they've been playing at the moment, didn't deserve to be 7.5-point favourites against the Raiders. But we couldn't bring ourselves to take the Raiders either, because there's just been so much unrest at that club, and obviously, you know, got flogged the week before. But that's another one of those ones where we probably just should have bit the bullet and said, look, it's a good spot for Raiders. They got obliterated the week before, and the Cows rolled the Titans. But one thing I would like to say about the Raiders is they're getting better now. They've got a good team on paper. And the reason they were losing some of those early games, I think, was match fitness. And because it was a little bit hotter. It's getting cooler now. They've got a bit more match fitness. They looked like the fitter team in the second half there. So I think moving forward, as the weather cools down, and not sound stupid, but as the weather is cooling down now and the Raiders are getting a bit more match fitness, they're going to get better.
Yeah, that is a good point. And one of the reasons we didn't take the Raiders was because they're probably the most unpredictable team in the comp, where they're so Jekyll and Hyde. And if they don't show up, it can get ugly. And that really does piss me off, because we did take the Raiders the week before in Gosford against the Bunnies, and we took unders, and we thought that they would show up for that one, going into that one at 2-5. They didn't, and we had eight plays and lost all eight, and that was last week. When we still had our best round of the season, we still hit a 17-1 multi, and we still were plus 16 units. So, you know, they, and then this week, they do everything we could have asked for them. They come in, they show intent, they're desperate, they're the hungriest side. They didn't let the Cowboys have anything easy. They took their chances. Everything we wanted the week before in Gosford, we get in Townsville. And we did just have the one multi, which was under 44.5, which did win easily. And as I said, recuperated a little bit in what's been, been a tough round. But as I've said to a lot of people, I mean, people even go to their way to send me a private message to let me know how bad we are. People do have short memories. If you're not winning every single week, I mean, it was only 3 weeks ago, 60-1 multi. Even this season, we're still over 55% and still have won, I don't know, 20 or 30 more than we've lost. But if you're not winning almost every single game, people get angry, even though there are only three tips. But hopefully people are a little bit happier because we did finish the round going 6-1 today.
I hate to see the backlash that people get that are giving out tips for and they're charging $50 a week and not tipping as well as us. I mean, surely they must cop abuse, or maybe they just block them. But that's what you get when you give out free tips, I guess, and you're pretty transparent with it. But that'll do it for this week, guys. What I would like to quickly chime in with, I think one of the fucking reasons that we didn't do as well this week as in weeks past was because we had to give out the bets on a Wednesday morning. And there's... It's just the skeleton markets out there on the bookies. They release all their best markets on Thursday morning usually, so we couldn't hunt out all the best bets that we usually do. But we'll be back to normal this week. 6 o'clock Wednesday pod for you guys to break down round 9. And we will see you then. And obviously, make sure you download our app. Just search Tripod, TRYPOD, in the App Store and Google Play. And we'll catch you at 6 p.m. on Wednesday.
Thanks, guys.